Your ongoing financial support for this public radio station makes all the difference. Thanks again for doing what you can to make public radio a vibrant part of the media landscape in your community. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, we're spending some time celebrating how travel opens us up to our world. I've spent a third of my adult life, 4 months a year since I was a student, traveling. And the place that first turned me into a professional wanderer is Europe. Its history, people, its variety of cultures and languages, it all captured my imagination when I was still a teenager. I've been going back every year since. And I never get tired of being reminded that while you and I may have the American dream, people all around the world have their own dreams. And Europeans know how to live very well.
I'll tell you one thing. When you go there, you see that Europe works hard and they play annoyingly hard. I mean, we have the shortest vacations in the rich world here in the United States, and Europeans just shake their head and marvel at how insistent we are at working ourselves into an early grave. When Europeans, they go on vacation when they want to go on vacation. I can analyze my own reaction to it. I'm just almost angered at somebody who will take peak season off if they're in tourism. How can you take July off when that's when you're going to get the most business and make the most money? Because we want to go to the beach. See, that just doesn't add up to me. I go to the beach in February because I'm going to make more money in July. But they go to the beach when they want to go to the beach, and, you know, to heck with how much money they're going to make. It's an interesting ethic. I was in Amsterdam researching my guidebook one year, and it was Wednesday afternoon, and I saw these guys on a party boat. These are not students. These are grown adults. And I'm wondering, am I missing? Is there something I should know about, like a festival or something? So I go, hey, hi, what's going on? And they say, it's Wednesday afternoon. We cut out of work with our friends every Wednesday and rent a boat and have a little party. Do you want to get in the boat? That's so European to me. That is so European. It can be frustrating for us, and I like, you know, our aggressive system, but that's a societal choice. I remember when it finally occurred to me, the work ethic is not the work ethic. It is a work ethic. We present it as the work ethic, but you're not wrong if you have a different work ethic than our work ethic. You just choose to have better family values. You can't really have it both ways, you know? And we have to be careful of what is dictated to us and how we're wired. We're a free nation. We can wire ourselves according to our values, not according to somebody else's needs, and that's our challenge as a free society. It's just exciting to recognize that every country has its own pride and its own heritage, and the world's not a pyramid with us on top and everybody else trying to figure it out, and everybody has their own dream. I always thought everybody if they didn't have the American dream, we should give them a government that recognized that they should have the American dream and they could play like we do. And then I realized, no, these Sri Lankans have the Sri Lankan dream. The Norwegians have the Norwegian dream. Bulgarians have the Bulgarian dream. It's hard to recognize that. In fact, it's frustrating to some people that don't travel and hang out with societies that have different values. It's not right or wrong. It's just something that's really cool that they would value something other than our priorities. When you travel, you recognize people have pride, people have spine, people have challenges that we just can't even imagine. One of my greatest, most favorite travel experiences was going across Asia on the old hippie bus, and I was coming into going through Afghanistan, and I was in Kabul, and at the cafeteria where all the backpackers were, just minding my own business, and this man sat next to me, and he said, "Can I join you?" And I said, "You already have." And he said, "Are you an American?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm a professor here in Afghanistan, and I'd like you to know that a third of the people on this planet eat with spoons and fork like you do, a third of the people eat with chopsticks, and a third of the people eat with their fingers like I do, and we're all civilized just the same." He had a chip on his shoulder. He thought I thought less of him because he ate with his fingers. And he was right. I didn't think he was as civilized because where's your fork? Where's your spoon? Didn't your family teach you how to eat properly? And then I realized, no, it's right for that culture to eat with their fingers. And I spent the rest of that trip through South Asia recognizing that, going to fancy restaurants filled with professional people, and there wasn't a knife or a fork in the whole place, or a spoon or a fork in the whole place. There was just a ceremonial sink in the center of that nice restaurant where people would wash their hands, and then they'd use their fingers for what God intended them to be used for, to nourish them. It was just a correct, holistic kind of thing for them. And after weeks of traveling that way, it became quite natural for me to eat with my fingers, and I remember I had to be retrained when I got home. Okay.
That's a little part of a talk I've been giving over the years about how travel has been walloping my ethnocentricity now for decades. It's not always comfortable to have your views and your traditions challenged, but it's a healthy part of travel and of being a global citizen in a world that's increasingly complex and interconnected. You rely on this station because it brings you a better understanding of our world in all its beautiful diversity. This station respects your intelligence and assumes an attention span. And it brings us information shaped not by a need to keep advertisers happy, but by a passion for connecting us with what's happening both at home and abroad. If you share my passion for the mission of public radio, please take a moment right now and lend your financial support. Your contribution to this station allows Travel with Rick Steves to return each week to keep sharing these perspectives with you. Together, we're travel partners in this exciting endeavor. If you've already made your contribution to public radio, thanks. If you're thinking about it, why not take a moment and contribute right now? We're all geared up during this membership campaign to make it extra easy for you to support public radio. And when you do call in, every time you listen to Travel with Rick Steves, you'll do so knowing that you and I are travel partners. Please give us a call right now. We're counting on you. Thanks a lot, and happy travels.